Okay, Samach Hei Amid Beis, 65B1. Two, six lines in the top of the page. Samach Hei Amid Beis. Okay. The Mishnah said that the husband, how much clothing does he give the wife? It's discussing, you know, the food, clothing, bedding, and all that. How much clothing? 50 zuz. 50 zuz a year. Remember we learned the new clothes she gets in the winter, and the shmatas she wears, when it's worn out, she wears it in the summer, and so on. So Amar Abaye, Abaye said like this. What type of zuz? There are different zuzi currencies. There was, like he says over here, it was an eighth. There was provincial zuzim. This is a coin. But there was provincial zuzim, which is an eighth of the tyrant zuz. So Abaye says this is the simple zuz, not the expensive zuz, the simple zuz. Mimai says, how do I know this? Because it says in the Mishnah, Megatani Bamet, one of my mother, when does a man give his wife 50 zuz of clothing a year? That's Ba'ani Shabi Yisrael, when there's a poor Jew. In other words, a poor Jew, minimal, has to give 50 zuz of clothing a year. Avo b'mechubad, but if he's a wealthy guy, Hakel, if he kveid, he has to give based on his wealth. So he says like this. Ich atzal kedai to chamishim zuz mamish. If you're going to say that 50 zuz is the expensive zuz, he says, ani chamishim zuz mino, where does a poor man get 50 zuz from? In other words, the Mishnah says the minimal amount you have to give is 50 zuz. Correct? So the question is, if it means expensive zuz, how does a poor man get 50 zuz? So therefore, we must say, El Shema Minor, it means we must learn, Chamishim Zuz Pshit. The Mishnah is referring to 50 of the cheap Zuz. Right? But if he's richer, he gives more. And that, the Gemara assumes, by the way, that even a poor person somehow can get 50 Zuz. That, but not the expensive Zuz, the cheap Zuz.
The Gemara doesn't explain how many clothing, what.
What's the difference between Zuz and common Zuz?
The expensive zuz were 8 times the price. Okay, so it's much more expensive. Instead of 50, he had 400. That's a big difference between 50 and 400. So the Gemara says it doesn't mean the expensive zuz, it means the cheaper zuz. But it doesn't say, I mean, the Mishnah before said that basically, says, okay, you don't give it new ones in the summer and the old ones in the winter, you give it a new ones. It doesn't say what type of clothing. She picks what she wants. Okay, then the Mishnah says like this. A nation law, le chadashim, like the Mishnah we just said, you don't give it new clothes in the summer and old clothes in the winter. Why? In the winter it's colder, she needs stronger clothing. That's when they're new. And then, by the summer, they're worn out already. Okay? But now, Tan Rabbanan learned like this. Remember we learned the husband has to give his wife X amount of food, money for food? Now what happens if he gives her that amount and there's leftover food? Who keeps it? Or there's leftover clothing. Right? She wore the clothing for a year. Yeah? Now, she gets a new set of clothing. What happens to those old set of clothing? Who keeps it? That's what we're discussing now. Meisim mezainis lebal. The leftover food goes to the husband. Meaning, if she didn't have enough of food and there's excess food, she has to give it back to the husband. But meisim belois bleisha. The leftover worn clothing go to the woman. Now she keeps the worn out clothing. Yeah. So the Gemara asks, Maisa Blois Isha Lama, what is she going to need it for? Why in the world would she need worn out clothing? It says, she wears them at the time she's nida. She shouldn't look ugly to the husband. Meaning like this. And in fact, the Gemara says an interesting thing. Years ago, not only was nida relevant to the husband, nida was relevant to everybody. Because in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, a person in the stomach can't go into the Beis HaMikdash, they can't eat Truma, they can't eat Maisa, they can't, you know, there are a lot of things they can't eat, right, Maisa Sheni. So the din is, if a woman, if a person was a Tomei, yeah, a person was a Zav, a Tomei, whatever it is, you gave him Shom Aleichem, you became Tomei, right? Now, if somebody touched a Nida, or Nida touched somebody, she would become Tomei, right? They would become whoever it was. Even her own kids, if she touches them, they become Tomei, right? So people had to know she was a Nida. So the Gemara says they have special garments that women wore when they were a Nida, that everybody should know they're a Nida. It wasn't embarrassing then. It was just a din that everybody had to know, if somebody's Tomei or not. But here the Gemara takes it a step further. When the woman's Nida, she can't be with the husband. When she's Tahira, she could be with the husband. So during the time she's Nida, so to speak, not that she didn't care, it didn't matter if she looked good to the husband or not. It was more important for her to look good when she's not a Nida. So therefore, she would wear the old shmatis, you know, the old worn out clothing she would wear. The Gemara says when the time she was a Nida.
That's why he lived there for her, yeah?
Huh?
That's why he lives there for her.
Yeah, that's why the Gemara says you leave it for her. What's the husband going to do with it? That leftover food, the husband could eat. What are you going to do with the leftover shmatis?
Oh, by the way, how, in the time of need, how the woman cook of those times? They wouldn't cook, or?
Either somebody else cooked, or they knew they were all tummy, and that was it. Okay, Amar Abaye, Abaye Salidus. Naktinim we paskin, Mote Bloy Salmona, the leftover worn-out clothing of a widow. Okay? Now, the husband died. Correct? Now, she, remember we learned in the Mishnah, she gets supported from the estate. Correct?
Correct.
Now, who does the leftover clothing go to?
Which clothing?
She's given a stipend of clothing. A widow, right? The husband died. She still gets supported from the estate. They give her food and clothing. Who gets the leftover clothing? So until now, we learned she keeps it. But here it says, L'yorshav, to the husband's yorshim. Okay? And the Gemara says, why? L'cheir, we just said a reason why the wife should have it. Correct? But there's a difference. She has no husband now. Awesome. Who the reason is, L'tizgana ba'ape, she should not be repulsive in front of her husband. But hocha, with a widow, yeah? Tizgana. Who cares if she's repulsive? Nobody's going to be living with her anyway. Right? So over there, she doesn't need those clothes. Now, because the orphan support her from the estate, she doesn't need it anymore. It goes back to the husband.
Back to the inheritor.
Well, the husband's dead, so it goes to the husband, and therefore the kids get it. Yeah. I mean, it goes technically to the husband, and because he's not around, the kids get it. You know, it's a very interesting question, not exactly connected to this. You know, people collect, I'll give you an example. I don't know why this example falls into my head. Somebody passes away. Yeah. They have no money for a burial. So let's say they need $5,000. $5,000 to do a burial. So they raise money. Samachay Amid Beis. So they raise $6,000. You don't need $6,000. You only needed five, but people raise six. So what do you do with the leftover money? So it says in Halacha, you use it, obviously for this funeral you don't need it, but use it for another funeral that somebody would need it. But you can't just use it some. I mean, it was given for a specific purpose. Okay. Then the Gemara says like this. Middle of the page. Oh, okay. Nice and Lamar Kesef. He gives her a silver mana a week for spending money. And then it says Friday night, the Mishnah says she eats with the husband. Remember, that's what the Mishnah says. Even in the Mishnah we discussed, there's two opinions, because this is what the Gemara says. Does eating meaning eating, or does it mean marital relations? Maya Echeles, what does Echeles mean? Rav Nachman Almar Echeles Mamish. She Mamish eats. It means a Friday night meal she eats together with him. Okay? Meaning, even though they're living in separate houses, but once a week, they have to eat together. They have to go out to his house to eat together. And Ravashi Omar Tashmish, it means marital relations. Okay?
How do they learn from the Ochelet, Ms. Tashmish?
Huh?
How do they learn from eating, Ms. Tashmish?
Oh, so Gemara's going to ask one second. So Gemara says, Tanan, yeah? It says in the Braisa, I'm sorry, in our Mishnah it says, Echeles imei lel Shabbos. She eats with him, right? So the Gemara says, Bishle milman diyama achila. The one that says eating means eating. That's why it says Echeles. Ocha means to eat. Ela man diyama tashmish maya Echeles. What's this expression, eating? The Mishnah says they eat together. The Ravashi defined it to mean they have relations together. But Echeles means eating. I mean, why does he interpret the word eating to mean, so he says, Lishlamalya. It's just a nicer word than Tashmish. Why? Can exceed, like it says in the Pasuk, about an adulterous woman, Ochlo umochasa piha, she eats and wipes her mouth as in says, I have done no wrong. In other words, eating over there means she commits adultery, and then she wipes her mouth and says, I didn't do anything wrong. By the way, I don't know why the Gemara doesn't bring this out. There's really a Pasuk in Chumash. It says, by Fetifa with Yosef, he gave over everything in his house, except the bread that he eats. And Rashi says it means his wife. Which is also the same expression of Achil, but the Gemara doesn't bring that down.
Well, it's a lechem, it's not a...
Lechem at Shu'o'ichel.
Yeah, but lechem doesn't say lechem, it says... Ochel.
Yeah, but the Gemara could have brought a proof from that passage. Still the same word, ochel.
Yeah.
Okay. But Lepel, so Ravashi says, I mean, the first opinion, Rav Nachman says it means eating. Ravashi says it means marital relations. So Meisvei, Rav Shimon Gamliel Eimer, Echeles B'lel Shabbos V'Shabbos. In Hebraic it says, Rav Gamliel says, she eats with him Friday night and Shabbos day. Now, that can't mean relations. I'm not going to explain why in a second. Right? But the fact that the Brice interprets the Mishnah that Ochel means Friday night and Shabbos day, and the Gemara says like this, Bishleim Eleman Di Amar Chila. That's good according to the person who says eating is eating. So the Brice says he eats with her Friday night and Shabbos day. Right? But I know Tony Shabbos. Eleman Di Amar Tashmish. Tashmish B'Shabbos Mi'ika. Can they have marital relations during the day? V'amir Rav Huna said, Yisrael Kadeshim Heim, the Jews are holy, v'meshamshim itjusem v'yom, they don't have marital relations during the day. Okay? In other words, like it says, the reason is they shouldn't see the nakedness, they might not like the person, whatever. So the bottom line is, so if you're telling me, Eichel HaSik Ravashi says, means marital relations, the question is, how could it be Friday night and Shabbos day? You can't have relations during the day. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rava answered, Babayis Ofel Mutter, that if it's dark, it is allowed. Okay? Okay, so this is what the Gemara says. Bottom line, the Gemara says it can mean marital relations. Ochel is just a nice way of saying it. And this that he said, Rav Gamliel says, he refers to, if it's a room's dark, then it's not a problem. Okay? Now the Gemara says like this. It's the first of the wide lines, and 65, Amid Beis. Then it says like this. Im Haisim Eineka, the Gemara, this is going back to the Mishnah, that if the wife is nursing, then she needs more food. Remember, because she has to nurse the baby, so she needs more food. Dardish Ravula Rabba. Ravula the great said on the Pesach of the Veni saw in the house of the Nasi, he says like this, Aval be Sha'amru, even though, let's explain this then, because it doesn't sound too good in today's world. Ein Adam Zon is born of B'nesef Shein K'tanim, even though halachically, a person does not have to support his children when they're young, there's no halachic responsibility for a father to support his children when they're young. Avozon ktani ktanim. But they're very young, he has to support them. Okay, I'll explain this whole thing in a second. Ad kamo, Sigmar says, what's the age? Ad ben sheish. Until 6 years old. By the way, the practical didn't to a certain extent today. In other words, Gemara says like this. A kid under six and under, a father must support. What do you mean must support? If he refuses, Besdin will take money from his estate to feed his kids under six. Over six, Besdin cannot force him to feed the kid. Okay? They can't force him to feed the kid. Okay? And he says, the Gemara said before, a long time ago, that if your father doesn't, it's despicable and disgusting not to feed an 8 to 9, 10 year old, you know, until they get married or whatever. But nevertheless, Beis Din can come to your house and take away money to do it. Only under 6. So he said, and where do we see this? Where does the age of 6 comes? The Amr Ravasi Ravasi says, Katan ben Sheish, Yetzah be'ed of Imei. A kid of 6 and under, okay? Below 6. Okay. It goes out with his mother's Ediv. Okay? Meaning like this. If you want, you know, you can only walk 2,000 cubits outside the city.
On Shabbos.
On Shabbos. Okay. If you want to walk more, you have to make Ediv Tchumim. What's Ediv Tchumim? You put down some bread at the end of 2,000 feet, 2,000 amas, which is 3,000 feet, and then let's you go another 3,000 feet. Okay? Now, every person that wants to walk outside of 3,000 amas needs their own amount of bread. Needs their own amount. Because to me and you do, it's not enough to buy one portion of food, it has to be two.
And they have to eat it, or it has to be there?
It has to be there, if not they can't walk.
They have to eat it too, or they
have to be there? No, no. But it has to be edible and it has to be food. Okay. But yet the Ravasi said that if there's a kid 6 and under, he doesn't need his own food. He's good with his mother's food for Erev. If his mother made an Erev, he's covered by his mother. He has his own eating to do. So you see, under 6, he needs the mother. And therefore, the father has a halachic responsibility to support the kid to the extent that Bezim will force him to do it. You know, it's interesting. It doesn't work like this today at all. Unless if people just want to go halacha without any court system. There's a din in Torah that a kid under 6 needs the mother. Halacha, a kid under 6 needs the mother. Over 6, not as much. Okay? Therefore, God forbid, if you go in just Torah law of yesteryear, if a couple divorces, who gets the kids? What's the Torah law of getting the kids? The Torah says like this. Any kid under 6 goes to the mother until the kid's 6. But any kid under 6 goes to the mother. Over 6, how do you do custody and Torah? Boys go to the father, girls go to the mother. Which, by the way, makes a lot of sense. The girls need a mother and the boys need a father, I mean. You need both. I'm saying, but if you only have one, which one do you need more? So Ravasi says that because, what do you see from Ravasi? That a kid under 6 is yaita with his mother's food, meaning his mother has to feed him. So therefore the father, just like he's obligated to support the mother, is obligated to support the kid under 6. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. Now, therefore he said, because it says if she was nursing. We make her work less. Remember we learned the woman has to work for the husband? Because she's nursing his kid, she has to work less. But we add him more food. Right? In other words, a nursing woman, like this, a wife has to work and then she gets food. Right? A nursing woman, because she's nursing, she's busy nursing. So she has to work less for the husband. And the husband has to give her more food because it's for the baby. She needs more food. My time, Zigmar says, is it not Mishim the boy because the child needs to eat with her? In other words, basically the father has to support the child. So he says, nope. That's not a proof. Dilma mishum l'chaylehi. Maybe because she's sick. Maybe because she's a sick woman. Why? Because of nursing. As you know, nursing weakens the mother. She's drained, right? All the nutrients in her body get drained. So now how do you know the reason is because he has to support the kid? Maybe the reason is because the wife is sick and he has to take care of her. So Gemara says in Cain, listen, the Mishnah should say if she was sick, not if she's nursing. Okay? So you see, it's because, not because she's sick, it's because the father has to support the nursing baby. So he says, no, Vidoma Akamashim, and maybe it teaches us another din, the Stam Menik is Chaylusinu, that most nursing women are sick. Maybe that's what it's teaching us. And the Gemara Taker says, Itmar, and the Gemara, by the way, he said this last week, I told my, Itmar, the Gemara Taker says here clearly, Amar Rabbi Shul ben Levi, Rabbi Shul ben Levi says, may see what food do you add to a nursing woman? So the Gemara says, may sifin lo yayin, you add wine, okay? Shayayin yafel lecholav. Wine makes her milk better. The nursing woman's milk is better through wine. There's also beer, it says. So in other words, like this. According to Ula, the father has to support the kid under six. Therefore, the nursing kid is under six. The father has to support him. Because of that, he has to give her more food. What does he give her? Basically, he gives her more wine. Because wine produces good milk for the kid. They didn't have formula. They didn't have all that stuff. They had everything original. So, but it's interesting. From this Gemara, Rashi explains the Gemara about the Erev. That what happens, here's the city, okay? The father made an Erev over here to go south of the city. And the wife made an Erev to go north of the city. Yeah, who does the kid go with?
After, is it before six?
So he said, that's what Gemara said. That's to be, so we said it goes with the mother's Erev. Not the father's Erev, the mother's Erev. Why? Because he needs the mother. Therefore the din is, just like the husband has to support the wife, and the kid needs the mother, so the husband has to support the kid also, because of the wife. From this Gemara of Erev, it's interesting, the Baal Shem Tov proved, I mean, the Rebbe brings a proof to a doctrine of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov said, and the Rebbe says always, anything you find in Chassidus, you have in Gemara. Anything in Gemara, you have in Chassidus. The Baal Shem Tov said, "B'makom sheretzayne shel adam, sham hu nimsa." Where a person wants to be, that's where they are. That's just the doctrine of the Baal Shem Tov. You want to be in Eretz Yisrael, that's where you are. Like a kid. You want to look outside the window, that's where you are. You want to look inside the window, that's where you are. Right? Whatever your will is, that's where you are. So the Rebbe says, what's the source of it in Gemara? The source of it is this Gemara of Erev, or Erev Tchumim. It sounds like this. Here's the thing, yeah? A guy wants, here's the end of the Tchum. He wants to carry more. So what does he do? He puts food there. Yeah? How does that help him go 400, another 2,000 amas? Huh? What is food there? Put another, go 2,000 amas. So the Gemara explains, no, the Gemara even explains a very simple, interesting concept. Really, the person should stand there when Shabbos begins, that he can go further. Yeah? But Chabim said, you know what? Why do you make a guy go there for Shabbos? Let him put food there. A person thinks about his food. That's what Gemara says. A person's mind is in his food. And therefore, because the food is there, and his mind is in the food, the Gemara says it's like he's standing there. And therefore he can go another 2,000 amas. So what do you see from that Gemara of Erev Tchumim? The person is where his mind is. Where is his mind? In the food. So it's like he's standing there. But here the Gemara is talking about the kid. But the truth of the matter is, But yeah. Before the Gemara brought down this thing about the supporting the kid, yeah. Yeah. He says, okay, the Gemara, we learned this a long time ago, different testament base. Rabbi Lar said the name of Reish Lakish, the name of Rabbi Yehuda B'Chanina, that in the city of Usha, where the big Sanhedrin was, they made a takana that a person should support his kids, sons and daughters when they're little. Okay? So the question, is the halacha like them or not? So Gemara says, he says like this, the jackal gave birth and threw knees and offspring upon the people of the town. Okay, so the Gemara says like this, there's a guy who wasn't supporting his kids. The Gemara tells the story before. There was a guy not supporting his kids. He refused to support his kids. Anyway, he came to Rav Yehuda and he said to them, Rav Yehuda said to them, the jackal gave birth, meaning the jackal is an animal that has no pity on its own kids. Okay, and he threw, and I said, what did this guy do, this man? He gave birth to a kid, and he dumped their obligations on the community. We have such people. When they came to Rav Chista, what to do? So he said, turn over a mortar in public, meaning, let him beat him up, and he said, you should say, announce that even a raven supports his kid, and this guy doesn't. Okay? So in other words, Bezin would actually force him to do it. The Grava was collecting money for charity. He forced it of Nosson Bar Ami, who was wealthy, to give 400 zuz for tzedakah. They would force him in those days. So Tosfos says that under the age of 6, everybody has to support it. Then, halachically, you have to. Over the age of 6, Gemara says, we beat you up if you don't. But again, Beis Din can't go into your estate and take up money. Say, in legal law, it's different. You have to support your kids until they're older. But you know the interesting shaila, I'll tell you what the difference is. If I support my kids over 6, can I count that as tzedakah? If I don't have an obligation to support them, yeah, okay, I'm not a nice guy, I'm a cruel person, terrible. But if Bezin can't force me to pay for them, correct? And I do, maybe that could be counterfeit tzedakah. Under 6, it's an obligation, you must, Bezin forces you to take away your money to support the kids. So it's an obligation. You can't count for tzedakah. But over 6, you might be able to count for tzedakah. That's where the din would be relevant today. I mean, today, the legal system would force you to support your kids. Over 6. Even though the question is today, even in Torah law, how, my kid's 18, do I have an obligation to support him? Let him go work. At what age, so to speak? There's no clear-cut halach about this. Depends what's going on. Somebody has a child who's not married, he's 40 years old. The father still has to support him? No, she didn't.
He's still in college.
Huh?
He's still in college.
If he's still in college, yeah, then his wife supports him. Nabuch.
It's the other way around too. The children, they don't have to support their parents, huh?
Well, in the Gemara in Kedusha, we learned about Kibbutz Avaim, that you have to feed them and clothe them. But the Gemara says from whose money?
Their money.
So there's two opinions in the Gemara. One opinion says your money, one opinion says that. The Gemara says the halacha is their money. Their money. But what happens if they don't have money? Then the mitzvah of tzedakah goes first for them. I mean, that's for sure. If somebody supports a family, their family, it's for sure tzedakah. Now that the pasuk sochal to salam, you know, your own flesh comes first. Yeah, that. But can Besdin force you? No. Okay, next parak. See, Seisha, the wife's, remember we learned before, there's a partnership here. The wife does things for the husband does things for her. The husband supports her, right? She does work and various different things for the husband, okay? So now the Gemara says like this, Metzia Seisha, the woman found something in the street, who keeps it? Does her husband keep it or does she keep it? Or, Maisia Deha, or what she earns, she works and earns, the din is the baile belongs to the husband. Okay? Now, why is this? By the way, this is rabbinic.
Are we on chapter 6 now?
Yes, sir. Okay. This is rabbinic.
Where do you see streets? I don't see streets, sir.
Streets?
Did you say street?
He found something.
She found something in the street. Or in the bathroom. I was the difference where she found it.
Found a lost article. Thank you.
Okay, fine.
Okay. So now, this is not a biblical din, by the way, because biblically, if a woman finds him, it belongs to her. Right? This, that what the woman finds or earns goes to the husband, the Gemara says is a takon of the Chachamim, the rabbis made a decree, because they don't want the husband to resent the wife. I support you, I feed you, I clothe you, and then what you find, you keep. I mean, you know, it should belong to me. But it's a rabbinic ordinance. Now, Virushasa, what happens if the wife inherited money from her family? Okay, remember, in biblical law, no sons, the wife's a daughter, only daughter, not only daughter, whatever, but remember, the Tzlofen's daughters, each one, the girls inherit. So now, she inherited a field, yeah? Who gets that field? So the Gemara says like this. He eats the produce as long as she's alive, meaning the field belongs to her. Who gets the profits, the fruit, or whatever profits there are from the field, that the husband gets, as long as she's alive. Okay? Then the Mishnah says like this. Beishta u'begama shala. Now we learned in Mishpatim there's a din. If somebody beats somebody up, you have to pay 5 damages. Right? Nezek, tzar, ripa, shevas, and beishas. Nezek, just to explain for a second, let's give the classic example that the Gemara gives, okay? You come to somebody, you cut their hand off. God forbid. You chop their hand off. Okay, so you have to pay 5 damages. One damage is called nezek. What's nezek? How much you damage them. How do you evaluate that? How do you evaluate an armless person?
Slave.
So how much he sold as a slave with 2 hands, and how much they sold as a slave with 1 hand, and that's the difference you have to pay. Then there's sad pain. Painful to get your hand cut off. Then there's ripui, doctor bills. And then there's baishas, embarrassment of what happened. And pegam, her devaluation. We'll see what that means. So it says like this. Beishna upegama shala. If she was a guy pays her these damages, right? Her devaluation, which by the way is nezek. Okay? Yeah? And her embarrassment, she keeps, not the husband. That means if the guy came and chopped off somebody's wife's hand, she keeps the devaluation and her embarrassment. Okay? That's what the Tana Kama is. Rabbi Yehuda Maseder says no. Bizman Shaseser, if it's a hidden injury, meaning in a hidden part of the body that she can hide, then Lo Shnei Chalokim, she gets 2/3 and the husband gets 1/3. Of these 2 things, humiliation and devaluation. Bizman Shebegolui, if it's an open, like a guy chopped off her hand, it can't conceal it. Loi Shnei Chalokim, the husband gets 2 parts and she gets 1 part. Okay? that means, according to the Beudim of Seder, no. The first opinion says she keeps it all. Her devaluation and her humiliation, she keeps. Yeah? The Beudim of Seder, no, says no. If it's a hidden blemish, she gets 2/3, he gets 1/3, the husband. If it's an open blemish, the husband gets 2/3 and she gets 1/3. And we'll soon learn why. And then the Mishnah says like this. Okay, Shalai, his share, meaning according to the Beudim of Seder, what the husband gets, that thing is given immediately. The guy that did it to her has to pay the husband immediately the damages. Shalah, her damages, what do you do with the amount she gets? According to the first opinion, she gets it all. According to the Beudim of Seder, she gets 1/3 or 2/3. What do you do with that? It says, interesting. Yilakach bem kaka, buy land with it. V'hu eichel perisa, and he consumes the produce, and she keeps the land. The money shouldn't go to waste. By the way, the Gemara, the Rishonim write, brings out the band, the Rishonim write that the Mishnah only talks about devaluation and humiliation. What about her pain? So that, the Rishonim, everybody says belongs to her. She got the pain, not the husband. The loss of work, again goes to the husband, because he's losing her money from her work. And doctor bills, for sure goes to the husband, because he pays the doctor bills. Halachically, a husband's obligated to pay the medical bills of his wife. Right? So if they're medical bills, of course the husband gets that money because he has to pay for it. So he gets it. Well, what's the problem?
No, there's only one thing.
What?
She keeps which one?
No. According to the first opinion, that how much less she's worth now, her humiliation and her pain. But pain, there's no argument at all. Everybody says she gets it. Right? Doctor bills and workers' comp, everybody says the husband gets. Because he's the one paying for it and losing the work, right? The only argument in our mission, is why our mission only says the two things of devaluation and humiliation, because the first opinion says she gets it, not the husband. The Beudim of Seder says, if it's a hidden mum, she gets 2/3, the husband gets 1/3. If it's an open blemish, then the husband's more humiliated than the wife. So then, he gets 2/3, she gets 1/3.
How do you evaluate humiliation and pain? Is there like a fixed chart or?
Oh, what the Gemara says in Bava Kama? Yeah. They say like this, if you have to have your hand chopped off, this is how they evaluate it. You come to a guy and say, listen, your hand has to be, God forbid, amputated. There's two ways of doing it. Either just chopping it off, or doing it with an acid that's less painful, and it also takes the hand off.
In the old days.
How much would you pay to do it with acid versus having it chopped off, and that's how much you pay pain.
So that varies by person, then.
Yeah, it's personal. It's completely personal.
It wouldn't happen today.
And what about devaluation? And how about devaluation? Or no. Humiliation?
Humiliation? That the Gemara says clearly, based on who did it and the person that got embarrassed. In other words, like this. A more prominent person, embarrassment is worse than, okay? Not only that, if a prominent person humiliates you, it's more embarrassment than if nobody embarrasses you. Right? So the Gemara says, a person walks around the street like a maniac and keeps embarrassing himself, so you don't have to pay any embarrassment. Because the guy keeps embarrassing himself anyway, he doesn't care about embarrassment. So embarrassment, by the way, is a personal thing based on who embarrassed and who got embarrassed. By the way, it's not only if I chop off your hand. technically, if I embarrass you, even in legal laws like that, I think, if I embarrass you publicly, yeah, you could take me to Beis Din and ask for embarrassment fee. I didn't hurt you. I didn't chop off your hand. I didn't, you don't need a doctor. I embarrassed you. You take me to Beis Din, and Beis Din will assess how much, Gemara says, for instance, Gemara says, if you embarrass a Talmid Chacham, you have to pay litra de dahava. It's an expensive gold piece you have to pay.
In America, we don't have this, right?
America, everybody's embarrassed anyway.
Everybody's upset.
No, the embarrassing is okay. They don't have such a thing, right?
In legal law, I'm sure you could sue for embarrassment. Sure. Sure. In America, you could sue for anything.
That's true.
You look at me the wrong way, I could sue you. Yeah, I'm serious. If you have a good lawyer, you can make money.
Like you said, last time you said we don't have a suing in Jewish law, yeah?
In Torah law, there's no suing. There's damages. There's not in suing.
Yeah. It's not like the Medina. We follow the Medina.
It's not, because it's not going against, it's not, torn to the Torah. There's no such payment.
So it's against Torah?
Yeah. But again, if you're in court already, then you can sue.
But there are times the Beis Din will let you go to,
If I have a dispute with you, yeah? Somebody just called me about this today, in fact. I have a dispute with you. I can't take you to court. Okay. A Jew has to take another Jew to Beis Din, right? But what happens if I take you to court? Okay. I was a bad boy. Instead of going to Beis Din, I took you to court. Okay? Yeah? Then the din is, because I took you to court, not only can you defend yourself in court, you can counter-sue, and you can do whatever you want to me. Wow. Because I was not allowed to take you to court. Once I take you to court, it's not only that you can defend yourself from what I'm asking from you. You can counter-sue, you can do whatever you want. Wow. That's the halacha, even today.
Why? What is the logic?
Because I took you to court.
Oh, because self-defense, kind of.
It's self-defense, but not only self-defense, only to... I'm asking you for $10,000. It's not only you can defend me from $10,000. You can sue me for $100,000. Because I wasn't allowed to take you to court. So once I took you to court, you can do whatever you want in court. But well, it's a very interesting kind. There's it's a lot of complications with this. But if you call me as a witness to testify for you in court, not in Beis Din, in secular court, according to Halacha, I'm not allowed to go unless if you subpoena me. If you subpoena me, then the law makes me go and I have no choice, then I can go. But I'm not allowed to go unless if you subpoena me. If you're subpoenaed, you have no choice, then you go. Okay. So now, the Gemara is asking on the Mishnah. The beginning of the Mishnah said, what a woman finds goes to the husband, right? What she works goes to the husband. So the Gemara said, we learned that already in a previous Mishnah, in a previous chapter. Why does the Mishnah have to tell it to us again? The Gemara said, Michael Mashma was the Mishnah teaching us. Tanina, we learned it. It says before, Ha'av Zake Bebite, the father gets from the daughter her Kedushin, with Kesesh Shtalim Bia. Zake Bemitziyasa, if she finds something, her father gets it. This is still if she's not married, right? Father gets it. Maisida, whatever she works, goes to the father. The father can nullify the vow, right? Mikabel is Gita, the father can accept her get for her if she gets divorced as a minor. The father does not consume. Let's say, this dinner is like this. What happens if this girl inherited something from her grandparents' house. So her father really doesn't have a right to it. He can't eat the fruits of the field. It's the girl's field. Okay? Nieces. What happens if the girl gets married? Which means now there's a husband. Okay? Yes, or all of a Baal. The Baal has everything the father has, meaning what she finds, what she works, everything. But more than that, the husband eats the fruits of her field while she's alive. Okay? So what do you see from this previous Mishnah? That the husband gets what she works and what she finds. So the Gemara is asking, why do I need this Mishnah to tell me the same din again? We already learned it before. So the Gemara answer, you're right. It's for the end of the Mishnah, about the blemishing and the devaluation. The humiliation and devaluation. That's teaching us the reason of the Mishnah. Plokta Rabbi Yehuda ben B'sei Rabban, because that's talking argument that we didn't learn before. We learned before that what the wife works and finds goes to the husband. But we didn't learn before if there's blemish, a humiliation, and devaluation, who gets it? That we didn't learn. In fact, that's the argument to Rabbi Yehuda ben B'sei and Chachamim. So that is what the Mishnah is teaching us. But to lead into it, the Mishnah says, normally the things of the wife goes to the husband. And this case is different. Okay, then the Gemara said like this. Tana Tame Kamed Rava, there was a Tana that learned the Brais in the presence of Rava. It says like this. Mitzias Isha, the first opinion says, if a woman finds something, La'atma, she keeps it. Not like our Mishnah says. Our Mishnah says the husband keeps it. This opinion says if a woman, a married woman, finds something, she keeps it. Rabbi Kiva says, Labailo, the husband, like our Mishnah says. Amalas, so this is what the guy learned in the presence of Rava. That if a wife finds something in the street, so the Chachamim say, she keeps it, and Rabbi Kiva says, the husband gets it. So Amalei Rava said to him, Masha, doesn't make sense what you just said. The leftover food, right? The leftover earnings, which is Maisi Adel, what she earns. Rabbi Kiva says, La'atma, she keeps it. Mitziyasi lekoshkin. Of course she finds belongs to him. I'm sorry. If Rabbi Kiva says, what she works, the leftover work, she keeps. Okay, we learned before like this. The wife has to work X amount of money for the husband. Correct? What happened? Let's see, she has to work $10 a week for the husband. If she works $20 a week, who keeps that extra money? So Rabbi Kiva says she does. Right? Because she went above and beyond what she has to give to the husband. So if that belongs to her, what she finds in the street for sure should belong to her. Because that's for sure extra. The Tanan, where do we see this? It says like this. Kainim, if a woman makes a vow to the husband, Kainim shani eisel epicha. I make a vow that whatever should be go to your mouth is forbidden. That means a wife makes a vow that whatever I work is not going to go to you. So Rabbi, the din is einu tzorach lehafer. She doesn't have to vow. She has to nullify the vow. You know why? It's not a vow. She can't go against the Torah. The Torah says what she has goes to the husband, right? She can't forbid what goes to the husband. But Rabbi Kiva says, Yafi, she has to make a forest in the daughter. She has to nullify the vow. Why? Shema tadiv olav yetzim in her oil. Maybe she'll make extra money. And that extra money normally goes to her, right? So if she says, I'm not giving it to you, the extra money, she has to make a nullify that vow in, for the extra money that goes to the husband. So the Gemara asks a question like this. So we see Lucheira from this Mishnah, or Braisa, that Rabbi Kiva says she keeps it. And the Braisa, which was just quoted, says Rabbi Kiva says the husband gets it. So the Gemara says, okay, Eipach, turn it around. Meaning, Rabbi Kiva says she keeps it, and the other opinion says the husband keeps it. And that's Rabbi Kiva's opinion. Rabbi Kiva says leftover money that she works above and beyond what she's obligated to work, she keeps. Right? That doesn't go to the husband. So lost article, for sure she keeps. So the guy that said it belongs to the husband was not Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva says it belongs to her. So just switch the thing around. Okay, just like this in a small next piece of Gemara. Gemara said, but that doesn't make sense. Because Kiyos said, I'm Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yechon, when Rabin came back to Israel, he said the name of Rabbi Yechon, that Badafa Shleya Decha Kulam Alei Pligid Abbal Abed. Okay, when a woman works, the money goes to the husband, right? If there's extra money, we discussed as an argument. So Gemara says, that's only, 1 minute, if she doesn't work hard extra to make extra money. She's very talented, right? She has a high-paying job. She doesn't work too hard because of it. Everybody says it goes to the husband. Because she didn't work extra special that she should keep the money. She worked normal, right? She got paid well, so it goes to the husband. Keeply, when does Rabbi Kiva Nechama argue about Dafa Shalai Deyatchak? When she had to force herself to work and make the extra. Then, the first opinion says it goes to the husband anyway. And Rabbi Kiva says she goes to herself. Right? Why? Because she worked extra hard. Why would she work extra hard to give it to the husband? So, Amar Papa Mitziyasa, finding a lost article in the street, is like finding working with a lot of exhaustion. Why? Because it's hard to find things in the street. It's hard to find things in the street because, like Rashi says, what did she find already? Dead fish washed up onto the shore? Or lame deer or buried treasure? She had to work hard for it. So therefore, Mitzia, the Gemara says it's the same argument that we give in the Chacham who it belongs to. The husband or the wife. Okay. Hi, Rabbi.